Hello everyone, welcome to Chan Podcast. Here is where you learn about meditation and Chan. So, what is Chan? Chan, spelled as C-H-A-N, is the Chinese school of Mahayana Buddhism and is the originating tradition of Japanese Zen. We encourage you to learn and practice meditation with a group. If you'd like to, feel free to visit our website londonchanmeditation.org.
I hope all of you are well, doing okay during this difficult time. Tonight I wanted to introduce to you a practice that I call embodied experiencing. Let me break it down a little bit. So you know what I mean by embodied experiencing. The reason I call this practice embodied experiencing is because most people live their lives in their heads, in the headspace. So they are completely entangled, impacted by the way they think, the way they feel, the words, the language specifically. Now, as linguistic beings, this is all that we've ever known. So our words and language really shape us, our experiences. And even though we do this, even though we're in the headspace, it doesn't mean that we don't actually feel it in the body. It's just that we're not aware of it. So most of the experiences are actually embodied. But because we're not aware of it, we have no way to access it. Our body is intelligent. It has its own memories and experiences that's connected to every aspect of our life, connected to the way we perceive things, connected to the way we remember things, the joy, the sorrow, the sadness, the grief, the happiness, the fear. So, because most of the time we are so wrapped up with the words and language that's spinning our heads, we're divorced from the body. We don't know how we feel. So we're not in tune with our feelings, which has a kind of bodily component to it. And because of that separateness, we're kind of alienated from how we actually feel on multiple levels. So this word embodiment is very important. It's a way for us to come back to the body, to tap into this intelligence and to explore it, to understand ourselves. So we become congruent. So our body, mind, heart, the way we feel, the way we think, it's more integrated. The way to do this is to learn what I call progressive relaxation. So because our experiences, instant by instant, are so fast and spontaneous, automatic, routinized in our body, that it's very difficult to fathom. So all the defense mechanism when we see a difficult person, when we are in a situation where we feel very awkward, you have a bodily experience, and it's intimately tied to the undercurrent tone of how you actually feel in that moment, which is shaping your perception, your reading of the situation, the people around. So if you're not in tune with that, you're just wrapped up with your reading, your perception. This person is bad, that person is good. And you don't really see that perhaps it's a kind of residual bodily conditioning that is actually the precursor to how you actually feel, how you actually think. For example, if you just got into an argument with someone or a very difficult, awkward situation, one person, you walk away, it's stored in the body, it's still there. And then the next poor soul talks to you, you kind of just pour it right out. I'm sure you have had this experience, you know, some innocent person talking to you and you're in a bad mood, you just kind of pour out the vexation or something. So kind of spreading your own tension, spreading your own angst, right? So that's not good. That's not practice. So the way to understand ourselves, become more integrated, more whole, is to tap into the body. And the way to do that is to diffuse the mechanism that may be. How do you do that? Progressive relaxation. So of course, when we first try, you know, in meditation, seated meditation, feels like very long. That's because we need to be in tune with it. We need to feel the skin, the muscles, the tendons, section by section. But if you do this all the time, you're very much in tune with how you feel throughout the day. Right? Or some instance happen, you automatically sense a particular shift in the body, tension, because you're so sensitized to it. You could release the tension to short circuit potential influence of negative feelings, projecting it out. So whatever situation you may find. So it becomes quicker, become more adept. In the beginning, it will be hard. Most people don't even know how they feel. And that's perfectly normal, perfectly normal. We're not reared that way. We're not taught that way. And we have accumulated tension from stress, poor posture, old injuries, right? The muscles, tendons, bones are all healed, but there's an energy block. Right? Now, injuries also include accumulated stress. Like if you always type like this, you will feel tension in the shoulders. It's not really an injury, but it's accumulated over years. So there's a knot there. So when you try to relax, you just can't relax the shoulders. Somehow you can't relax the mid-back. Somehow, you know, it's just can't relax this area. Right? When people sit in meditation, they have these two deep creases, this frown, right? So it's embodied experiencing accumulated stress that makes it tense. Now, if your body is tense here, right, and tense at the shoulders, space between the eyebrows and the whole eyes region is number one difficult place to relax. If it's tense there, tense in the shoulder area, then it's pretty much guaranteed that you have headaches very often. Or you have a lot of wandering thoughts most of the time, right? Why? Because it's also connected to your energy. Your body has an energy to it, right? So these energies are blocked. They can't be released down to the body. They can't be grounded. So where are they stuck? Here, above here, right? Because it's, the tension is preventing them from going down. Another common area, the third most difficult part, is the abdomen. So whenever you have a challenging experience, some nervousness, your body remembers. It goes to here. You have stomach ache. Right? When you see sometimes even a person or a situation you find yourself, you get cramps and you have some difficult area. So all of us have stored parts of our experiences in life and form into habit into different parts of the body. Now some of these are deep, deep seated. They can be accumulated, innocuous as, you know, I type all day, so I have stress here, to a whole range, quite deep, such as early childhood pain or some kind of strategy that we've learned to kind of hold in our feelings. And then as adults, we are still playing out some of these things unconsciously. And so there are different layers of releasing the tension, opening ourselves up. And we do so by embodiment. How? Progressive relaxation. Allowing first the tension to be. You're relaxing the body and you can't relax the shoulder or you can't relax that certain parts of the body. It's fine. Relax. The intention is to relax. Feeling. Just move on to the next section. So a common symptom or experience is that you will experience parts of the body that you just can't relax or you can't even feel. Now, granted, there are some part of the body that we don't have nerve endings, a lot of capillaries in the end, so you're not going to feel anything. Like the fingers tips, there's a lot of nerve endings, so you have very good feelings there. But there are some areas that you just, like back the elbow or some other place, you're just not going to feel. It's not to say that you have to actually feel every part, every inch, every section of the body. The main point is, we human beings are, you know, the Buddhists talk about five sense faculties, six sense cognitive momentary awarenesses, and the six sense objects. So eye, ear, nose, tongue, body, mind, sight, sound, smell, taste, touch, thought, giving rise to six corresponding cognitive moments by moments by moments, these kind of consciousnesses or awarenesses, right? Cognitions. So this is what we call the 18 realms. I don't want to get too deep into the Buddhist doctrine, but I do want to highlight a point. When we talk about, this is a second symptom, when we talk about relaxing body, a lot of people will resort to what they have always known, what they have always relied on, which is their thinking. So they're thinking to relax. They're having a monologue, talking to themselves, relax this. Okay, do you feel it? No. Okay, move down. Do I feel this? I go down. It's not that. Right? In doing that, you're not engaging the faculty of the body. That's what we're talking about. You're engaging memory, faculty of the mind, symbolization, right? discriminatory labels, concepts, narratives, words and language. That's not what we're talking about here. So we're talking about a like concrete, tactile sensation. So you're not engaging the eye faculty, the nose, the ears, tongue, you're not doing that. So really be in tune, zero in on the bodily faculty. Okay, it should be very clear now, right? So, and there are areas, like I said, you can't feel, right? It's the common experience. There's some parts you can't feel because there are no capillaries, nerve endings there. Normal. Just feel as much as you can and then relax. Focusing on three things. Skin, the most surface, muscles, tendons. Tendons is the most difficult. Skin, kind of flesh, that may be difficult if you're trying out for the first time. It's fine. If you have difficulties when you're sitting, when you're trying to relax, like a common area, abdomen. I can't feel my abdomen relaxing. What do? When we relax, your abdomen has this subtle experience of rise and fall, rise and fall. Right? I can't really feel that. What do? You put it here. Just breathe naturally. And you feel this subtle rise and fall. And then feeling, tactile sensation, right? Keep the experience there while you move the hands away. Continue that experience, rise and fall. So if you have trouble relaxing this area in the beginning of the sitting, fine, just relax, relax. Use your hands, just relax. This is when you have difficulty. If you can feel the muscle tension, that's fine, just feel it. One way to help is raise your eyebrows. Some areas, if you can't feel, our strategy is tense up and release. Tense up, and release. So this area, raise your eyebrows, then I can drop. Raise it up, drop. And then familiarize yourself. Zero in on that. Tactile. Embody the experiencing of actually relaxing the eyebrows. From there, you can relax the eyelids, eyes, the whole eye socket. And then place the cheeks. So we'll try this in a minute. Three main areas. This area, the eyes, shoulders, and abdomen. So embodiment means being in tune with the body. Right? Activating the bodily faculty. And all day long, we use the eye faculty to see, ear faculties to hear. We're very much wrapped up in that. Right? But the way that human body anatomy is wired in such a way that when we activate one particular sense faculty, the eyes, for example, this is just the way how we are wired. Other sense faculty will be suppressed. Will be suppressed. It's just the nature of the body. So when you're seeing things, you're not really aware of the actual subtle muscles on the soles of your feet. As you're walking through the park, you're not really aware of that because when you're using your eyes, unless you're consciously bringing your awareness to the feet, if you're using your eyes, seeing the wonderful flowers, the grass, the beautiful plants, trees, other sense faculties are relaxed. Olfactory are relaxed, suppressed. Same thing with taste, same thing with feet, tactile. So that's another kind of experience. So that has helped shape us, condition us, if you will, into always being up here, always being up here. Right? And that's one of the reasons why it's very hard for people to relax, because they're just top heavy. Right? But now it's time to practice this embodiment. The way to do it is through progressive relaxation. It will get easier, quicker. And more you're in tune with the body, in tune with how you feel. And this taps into the experiencing. There's something to be said about experiencing. Experiencing in the ing form is moment to moment to moment. It's continuous. This is what we naturally do. This is what we naturally do. This is what the eyes, ears, nose, tongue, body, mind automatically do. This is what the mind automatically do. This is the nature of the mind. The nature of mind is moment to moment experiencing. Now some people call it wakeful, or moment to moment clear, clear light, or awareness, all of these words kind of point to it. I don't typically use those words because it's too cerebral, kind of gets you through the, in the head as if you are kind of aware here, you're conscious here, right? Pure consciousness, right? Or you're kind of, there are a lot of fancy terms for it, like naked awareness, pure consciousness, wakefulness. All of these suggest some kind of cerebral phenomena. So I'm bringing it to the body. So the most direct description of that is just experience. Moment to moment experiencing. That's what you already do. What is the problem then? The problem is we are reared and conditioned to get caught up, to be sucked in, to be conditioned by that which we experience. So whatever we experience, sight, sound, smell, taste, touch, thought, we solidify, reify into a thing. So our habit tendency, what the Buddha described as self-referential attachment, is we make everything into a thing. And it becomes a weight that weighs on us. Okay? Things that we get caught up in. Things that we are sensitized to. It could be people. It could be circumstances that bind us, triggers us into an automatic physiological response. That means you're not free. So our bondage is the fact that we are bound, we are tethered to that which we're experiencing. Now, the Buddhist methods of meditation, like all systems of meditation, they're giving you a thing to focus on, right? Your breath, a mantra, the Buddha's name, or the body, right? You have to have that. You gotta have that. Otherwise, your mind is just wandering from one thing to another. So concentration doesn't really develop. You need to kind of learn to stay with one thing, right? So you trail off, you bring it back, trail off, bring it back. And then you can go deeper, 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 deeper into this, excavating the different layers of this method. Right? So you're very familiar with the method of practice. Right? You know the ins and outs of your method, the breath, the body, or whatever method you may be using. So that comes from, and this insight comes from the ability to stay with something. Concentration. Now, the nature of the method is to cure the problem that we are always caught up with things. We're caught up with that which we are experiencing as opposed to the actual experiencing itself, if that makes sense. Right? The experiencing itself is automatically free. You're already free. Right? You're not. That's the nature of mind. It's just flow. Ears hear, eyes see, tongue taste, nose smells, and your mind experiences. Right? Your mind is freely able to engage with thoughts creatively without bound to patterned thinking, defensive strategy thinking. Right? So these are triggered by years of conditioning of being bound by that which we are experiencing, right? Things. In the mind is symbolization, the words and language, right? And also, of course, our feelings. And as I said before, this is embodied. And if you're not attuned to it, then it's like these conditionings are running the show. You're not. Right? You're just like a puppet. Right? So the purpose of the method is to train ourselves to not be so conditioned by creating so many things. We're just one thing, right? This method. And this method that I'm introducing is called embodied experiencing. Experiencing what? We still have a thing, right? What is that thing? The body relaxes. So the bare minimum that I'm prescribing is the most natural thing that you already have, right? That's always with you, but always eludes you. You're not aware, you're not in tune. You're not tapped into it. And that is your body. This method is very effective because it brings simultaneously various strands, purposes, right together. Right? Our alienation from our body, our enrapture with our thoughts and feelings, our tendency to grasp things, to reify things, our disassociation with our feeling, which is really running the show of our perception and experiences, even including memories, right? Selectively, how you choose, implicitly. So it brings together congruently the most fundamental way of being, and that is yourself, body and mind, together, one. So that's the baseline. So always relax. Right? Being in tune. Now, at least, you know, we spend a lot of time with my students, training them to be relaxed in meditation. That's the foundation. It primes the body to meditation, right? To be in tune with the method. It primes the mind, right? So once the body is relaxed, you can prime the mind's freedom of distractions and defenses. And then you can tap into the more subtle layer of undercurrent tones of feeling. Right? So the actual method, once you relax the body, you just embodied experiencing the reality of this moment. What is the reality of this moment? You're sitting. Now, how do you know you're sitting? Because I feel it. It's the bare minimum. What do you feel? Your body's relaxed. You're not objectifying. You're not standing outside your body looking at it. You're not engaging with the faculty of mind. creating all kinds of scenarios and pictures and visualization. You're completely in the body, right? You're aware even of the sense of bodily weight, the presence of your body. Right? So for example, if I hold this mug in my hand, I feel the weight, the base minimum of the experience. You know, of course, I have no feelings here, but if it's our body, you feel the presence. What does that presence mean? That presence mean the body, the experiencing, the relaxation, and the sense of weight. So at least these three things. Now you're not rotating these three things like a check mark, checklist. Body, posture, check, weight, check. Go back to the body again, you know, posture, relaxed, weight. You're not doing that. The three are just embodied in this moment. You're just here. The mind is not in the past. The mind is not in the future. It's here. If you do this for some time, very much in tune with it, then you begin to do the real work of healing. You begin to tap into old memories that your body remembers. You begin to tap into hurt, pain, your fears of not being accepted, of being rejected, of not being seen. We embody our history in the body. So as you open up to your own body, things will begin to surface. What do? Don't try to suppress it. Don't try to run away from it. Don't try to correct it. Somehow you need to fix it. There's a history. What is there to fix? It has made you into who you are, right? The problem comes from you resist it. You try to correct it, right? Usually people try to correct with the head, whatever doctrine, Buddhist doctrine or some spiritual practice they read, they try to do it to the body or onto themselves. The body has an intelligence, will heal itself. So you just need to be there. You just need to be present to it, right? But you have to be absent of your tendency to grasp, reject, suppress, escape. Present absence. Allow it to go through you. Allow it to go through you. Things will open up. You may have episodes in some time. Sit. Now, all the time you've been practicing, for example, loving kindness meditation, sending love. It's just, day in, day out, you're doing it. And it's just kind of repeating the words. Why? Because most people, when they teach it, they're not talking about embodiment of loving kindness. They're talking about repeating words. Maybe well, maybe happy, maybe free from illness, maybe at peace. Yes, that's the beginning. Why? Because we are linguistic beings. So you begin there. You have to bring it into body. Right? So you do this. Sometimes things will start to open up. Images. This is when the memories start to come up. Images, flash images of your past episodes. Maybe of the person you try to send loving kindness to. Maybe of yourself. Right? And along with these images, they're not just like a running film clip. There's feelings associated with it. And these feelings are in the body. So you will start to feel it in the body. Whatever that may be, the joy, the pain, hurt, or whatever kind of emotions. What you need to do is don't be scared. It's natural. It's supposed to be like that. Develop the resilience and the ability to tap into that what you have been practicing. Progressive relaxation, tap into that feeling, the experience of relaxation, allow it to be. Allow it to be. And you will discover that the more free you are, not try to change your personality, change your past, you can't. The past is always about the present, how you relate to it. You know, like I always say, practice is about relationship. You always relate to it, being present to it. You begin to build a new relationship to these feelings. That's the key. Not your habit tendency of running away or trying to suppress, trying to change. What is that relationship? Embodied experiencing. Kind of openness, allowing things to come through. With body relaxed, heart content, open. That will be your strength. And that strength is like the strength of a blade of grass. Right? When typhoon comes, hurricane comes, tornado comes, the grass just bends along and just comes right back up. Now, if you try to fight it, you're like that pine tree. Pine trees are, you know, down in Florida, we know, very easy to crack, right? They don't break it. They can break midway, they break. Right? The last natural disaster that we experienced here in Florida, you see just miles and miles of tree, halfway cut, you know, pines. Don't be a solid tree. Be a blade of grass, completely open. Now, beyond these memories, images, fragmented, synaptic. If you continue, you will experience them as undercurrent tones, feeling tones. You're no longer caught up with that which you experience because you've been practicing with that. Right? The experiences, the fragmentation, the thoughts and feelings. You start to tap into, ground yourself in the undercurrent feeling tone, right? Of, you know, beneath sadness, for example, there may be fear. It's not really sadness. The images may be sad. Right? I'm not loved, I'm not seen, I'm not heard, you know, or your particular childhood images, or whatever. But the undercurrent tone is maybe fear. So, or whatever that may be. Beneath that, there may just be a kind of energy that you feel, a kind of pulsation that you feel. Now, continue forward. Now, in this process, you may tear up, you may have all sorts of emotions. Don't get caught up in emotions. The point of practice is not to have no emotions, to be stoic. It's not the point. The point of practice is to not engage in the habit tendency of grasping and rejecting, which is the mask of greed and hatred. What does that stem from? Fundamental ignorance. Now we're talking about the three poisons of the mind, Buddhism. It's just disguised as that. So how do you combat the three poisons of the mind? You don't feed into it. You don't not acknowledge it. Blind to it, you're completely wakeful, completely aware. It's just that you tap into your resilience of open embodied experiencing. Content, accepting, and let them flow through. Let these karmic imprints fill you. Release in and of its own accord while you remain in line with your true nature, which is you're free. You're already free. Clear. Experiencing. Now, some people may say, what's that? Now, of course, let me just finish. There are ever deeper layers of it and experiences of this. So just same way, just let them go. Don't get caught up in the ramifications of thoughts and feelings. Images as they come, always ground yourself. If you continue to do this, the body may even disappear. The body may disappear, let alone the thoughts and feelings. What's left? It's kind of, sometimes it's just the presence, kind of energy, right? Sometimes it's just this experiencing. Now, what is that? That's for you to discover. The more I try to describe what this experiencing is, as opposed to that which we experience, the more entangled I'm going to get. So I'm not going to do it. See what that's like, personally. The more you align yourself with that, the more you're in line with your true nature. Now, some critics may say, what is this, sounds like some kind of healing, and is that Chan or Zen even? That's because they have a fixed way of what Zen is. Yeah. Fixed way. That's another thing that they have reified, solidified into a thing. Chan, there's no such thing as Chan. There's no such thing as Zen. It's only in the responses, in the in-between, in responding to the needs of sentient beings that Chan responds. Methods occur. Teachings flourish. If you try to grab onto some 12th century text, what some dead person said, some Chan master said, and then try to apply it to the present, it may have a principle that if you can understand, a principle that's relevant, right? There's always a principle thing. But if you attach to the form of it, that's what I called picking up someone's bubble gum, the chew, that they have already spat out. Chew, throw it on the ground, and you're kind of picking it up. Hey, this is the true bubble gum. Chewing it. It's useless. Right? Don't get attached to the form. Chan teachings, formless. Now, this teaching embodied experiencing is not some ultimate truth either. Right? Why teach it? Because people are just, they live divided within themselves. They're separate. They're alienated even from their own bodies. They don't know how they feel. So I teach that. This embodied experience is just a kind of modern, contemporary, Gua Gu's translation of silent illumination. Now, if you want to know what silent illumination is, it's another talk. So it's considered what? It's considered sudden method, sudden awakening. Now, we'll reserve that for another time. So with the remaining time, what I do want to do is to practice with you, if you will. Okay, so adjust your posture. Sit upright, relax. Bring your awareness the six sense faculties to the outside world, back to the body. What aspect of the body? Sensation. Relaxation. The sense of weight. In other words, tactile sensations. See if you can feel, for example, your buttocks. The sense of the bodily weight on your seat, right where you are. Can you feel that? If you're top heavy, you can't feel it. If the monologue is too much, you can't feel it. Just come back to the buttocks. Bring the bodily weight down. Okay, just for a moment. Next. Progressive relaxation. There are three main areas. Now, I have a video about this. It's on the Tallahassee Chan Center YouTube channel. You can search it. So just follow that. Right now, we're just doing very quickly. Three main areas. The eyes, in which the space between the eyebrows is very important. This is where we hold our frown, the tension. So you want to relax that muscle. Tense up and relax. Tense up and relax. And then the eyes, whole region. Then you can do the facial muscles. Remember skin, muscle, tendons, if you can feel. Rest. Rest of the head. Second one is shoulders. We hold a lot of tension here. So you want to tense up, relax, and get a good feeling, solid, concrete feeling of what is it actually like to relax there. Shoulders relax, the rest of the muscle group will be easier to relax. You know, tying it to the shoulders, our pecs. And relaxing the arms. Third one is the abdomen. Abdomen. I mean, you could tense up, relax if you want. I don't usually do that because you can just place your hand here. Once you've taken care of the head, the eyes specifically, the midsection, the shoulders specifically, and when you get here, it's easier. You already are relaxed. The weight will be able to drop down here. The muscle groups will be able to relax. You don't need to kind of tense up the abdomen. You can just sense it. Put your hand here. Rise and fall, rise and fall. Following the rhythm of your breath is sufficient. Okay, and then the bottom, base of the posture, the muscle groups there. And then you can work on relaxing the bodily weight. You can actually feel the presence of the bodily weight on the head, drop it down. Use your breath to release and then drop it down. I usually bring it down to the buttocks. Bring it down directly to earth. Earth. Then the energy will naturally be in this area. You don't have to, at least in the Chan tradition, focus so much in the abdomen. That can cause tension in other bodily areas, which is not conducive. Right? So if you bring your bodily weight right down to the earth, connected, you will be grounded. Naturally, your energy flow will rest over here. Does that make sense? Okay. And you take care of the heart. Then you can begin to tap into the undercurrent tone, feeling tone. You can tap into that sense of contentment after you relax the body. What is that contentment? It's a strand of joy, pleasant. And needing nothing from the outside, the feeling of it's all good. You don't need to follow, chase after something. You don't need to try to get rid of something, fix anything. That mindset, very precious. So you want to harness that, familiarize yourself with that undercurrent. With that, continue to sit. If you need something concrete, then you just give it a thing. Breath. If you don't need, just continue to experience in an embodied way the reality of this moment, which is sitting. So we can practice that. Yeah. Please practice that together. Concluding this talk, I want to say a few words. We're living in a time of sorrow, division, pain. We're physically separated from our friends, distant relatives, families. So along with that, there's a lot of issues there. But in the midst of that, we have to reach out and connect. Connect to those who are feeling pain right now, who are angry, who are experiencing suffering. We ourselves are experiencing suffering. What can we do? You take care of yourself first, right? Before you try to, if you don't do that, you will naturally bring the suffering onto other people. Like the example that I give, you know, the poor innocent soul, you just had an argument with this person, you're just gonna translate to the other, next one. Don't do that. Take care of yourself, your own issues, right? One way to do it, when you are doing embodied experiencing, begin with sitting, then you can do it in daily life too, in sitting. You can actually proactively bring forth a painful experience, but in the context of this relaxed, open embodied experiencing, and you see how that feels. You have that contentment, right? And you bring it up. You see how that feels. The image, the memory. If it's too painful, you allow it to exist at the corner of your heart, your mind. You know it's there. It doesn't have to be an image, but you know it's there. You know the pain that you feel for decades until you can slowly bring it closer to specific memories, specific incidents, you bring it forward. And you feel how uncomfortable you are. Don't try to run away. Open, open, open. Accept, embrace. If it's too much, bring it back to that corner. So slowly, you work through things within yourself. That one thing will open up the floodgate to other things. You don't have to go through all that. It's not necessarily some like therapy. You don't have to do that. But we have to deal with the issues that's hijacking our practice of Buddha Dharma. For example, you tend to be the fighting type. Every time you use a method, you're trying to plow through your method of practice, trying to fix it. You're just perpetuating anger. Right? So you've got to expose that. You've got to have that contentment. You've got to have that equanimity. Okay, so things that you want to work through, bring it up. Once you can do this, sympathizing with yourself, connecting with yourself, then you will have a chance, a modicum of possibility of being able to connect with other people, to be present to others. Those people who are experiencing great pain. And you're just there. Same thing. We don't try to correct it. We don't try to fix it. Maybe it's not up to you to fix. Well, we're present to it. We're there. And we listen. Listen to others. So the level of humility. You know, and all of us have blind spots, yeah. Including teachers have blind spots. Students have blind spots, teachers have blind spots, we're human. So we open ourselves, we learn, and we connect to others. People that dislike us, criticize us, people that like us, praise us, connect. In this process, we open humility, we're there, and we learn. You know, yesterday I was talking with a gentleman, a black gentleman in mid-60s. He's telling me, even in his 60s, he's learning, continuing to learn. Students that I have in 70s, 80s, everyone's learning. So don't be afraid to learn of other people's pain, grief, to be present to them, connect. That's what we can do. But we begin with connecting with ourselves, embodied experiencing.
Thank you for listening to the Dharma Talk. This podcast is run by the London Chan Meditation. You can find out more about us at londoncharmmeditation.org.